A young lady about 16 years old gave her testimony at church one evening. She talked about how Christ had dramatically changed her life, and she was just overflowing with this joy and enthusiasm. And in the course of her testimony, she said, "Since I gave my life to Christ, I don't have any problems. He takes care of me now, and I'm happy all the time." And her statement then reminded me of the tagline that a certain radio evangelist uses when he signs off. He says, "You don't have any problems. You just need faith in God." Well, there's a hint of truth in this idea that you know, Jesus does encourage us to cast all our cares upon Him and let Him take care of them for us. And therefore, we shouldn't worry about them after that. But this attitude also reveals a common misconception that many people have about the Christian life. When you live for Christ, that He will reward you by making your life just trouble-free. That simply is not the case. In fact, the Scriptures indicate differently. When we look at the various passages, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him." Peter said, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." Jesus said, "God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." You know, everyone's life is filled with sunshine and rain. Sunshine isn't always evidence that God favors you. Even the evil people get some sunshine. Rain isn't evidence that God is punishing you. You know, even the righteous have to face the rain. And so suffering is a part of life that everyone must endure. However, when it comes to suffering, Christians have some advantages. The obvious one is that God will help you through the hard times. A second advantage is that no matter what kind of problems you face, God has promised to use them for your benefit and for His glory. Paul said this, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." And so when you suffer, whether it's illness or mistreatment or job problems or relationship problems or money problems or whatever it might be, it is crucial that you approach this suffering from the right attitude so that you will ultimately benefit from the problems that you face. So what is the right attitude? Well, Paul shows us in Romans the 5th chapter, and the 3rd verse, it says, "We also rejoice in our sufferings." We rejoice in our sufferings. Now, this is the attitude that we must have whenever we face hard times. You know, an attitude of rejoicing. Now, don't misunderstand me here. You know, our attitude doesn't have to be some kind of phony Pollyanna thing that says, you know, "Hooray for me! I'm suffering! I'm in pain and my life is coming apart at the seams! You know, aren't I lucky?" You know, this is not what Paul means. We don't rejoice because of our sufferings or for our sufferings. We rejoice in spite of our sufferings. I mean, this would sound like crazy advice, except there are two factors that make rejoicing and suffering a reasonable idea. One is that God will help you through the problems, and the second is your problems themselves will help you too and work toward your advantage. Think of it this way. Pretend that you are a prisoner of war and you have an evil taskmaster who tries to make you weak and powerless by forcing you to carry a heavy boulder on your shoulders all day. And some of your fellow prisoners give under the strain and they stop trying and the boulder crushes them completely. But you keep on carrying it. And soon you discover that carrying that boulder isn't making you weaker, it's making you stronger. And eventually you have the strength then to cast the boulder aside and to overpower your captor and to earn your freedom. Now, this is exactly what problems can do for you. You can give up and let your problems destroy you, or you can use them to become a stronger and better person. Now, no one in the right mind would choose to suffer. But when it happens, we can rejoice in the fact that the suffering isn't going to beat us. We will eventually win the battle. And this is why we rejoice in suffering. Because there are certain benefits that we can claim whenever we are faced with it. And so this is what I'd like to look at this evening. You know, what good is suffering? There are three advantages to suffering that I want to point out. First, it helps you handle pressure. It helps you handle pressure. Paul said this in verse 3, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Now, the Greek word for perseverance means literally to handle pressure. Suffering puts us under a tremendous amount of pressure. So Paul's saying being under pressure teaches you how to handle pressure. You cannot be successful in any field unless you learn how to handle pressure. When we saw Michael Jordan sink a three-pointer at the buzzer to win the game for the Bulls and really to win a championship there, he makes it look so easy. You know, that we just know there would be no way in the world that we could do that. We would crack under that kind of heat. You make the shot, you're a hero, you miss it, all you are then is an overpaid bum. You know, how did Jordan handle it? Well, for him, it was all in a day's work. You know, he had been in that situation countless times, and he had learned from his successes and failures how to handle the pressure of a close game. You know, in the story of David and Goliath, at first glance, David seems to be an inexperienced kid who appears out of nowhere just to slay this giant. But that's really not the case. You know, David could handle the pressure of facing Goliath in a battle because he had endured the similar pressure with lions and bears who had threatened his sheep. Enduring those pressure-filled situations gave him the strength then to face the pressure of fighting Goliath. You can rejoice in suffering because at the very least, your problems will develop for you an inner strength. They make you tougher as you go along. Now, a second benefit is it gives you character. And again, this same verse 3 of chapter 5, it says, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Have you ever been house hunting and the agent said, I've got a great property for you to look at. It's an older home, but it has a lot of character. When a real estate agent says it has character, it's about like saying a blind date has a good personality. Now, you know the house may not be beautiful, and most likely it will look like it weathered some storms. And the word translated character can also be translated proof. Another good term is staying power. Now, when you weather storms, you have a chance to prove to the world what you are made of and prove to the world how God is faithful to you to protect you through your trials. Bible teacher Steve Brown, maybe you've heard him. He's on the radio frequently, Christian radio a lot, and I like listening to him because I like his voice. He has a wonderful almost bass voice in his preaching. But he says that whenever a non-Christian gets cancer, God allows a Christian to get cancer so that the world can see the difference. Now, this statement is made, of course, facetiously, and is intended simply to make a point. A believer endures difficulties differently than an unbeliever. God's presence in the life of a believer gives him the power to endure. And the proof is in the end result. When you endure suffering, you develop character, you develop staying power. All kinds of records have been set, of course, in the major league sports. And we're on the verge of seeing one of those records, of course, collapse as Barry Bonds is one home run away from tying the all-time home run record. But most of them have to do with things like that, like a player's performance in a single game or a particular season. Cal Ripken Jr.'s record, you know, he played more than 2,631 baseball games consecutively, is different. It is not a record that can be attributed to talent, but to character. He proved that he had the drive to hit the field every day, even when his body hurt, or his head ached, or his nose was running, or he had personal problems, or he was in a slump, or he just didn't feel like playing that particular day. We don't have to wonder if Cal Ripken Jr., who, by the way, was enshrined in the Baseball's Hall of Fame today, was a great player. His record is proof that he was. When you endure suffering, you develop staying power. Staying power proves to yourself and to the world that you mean business. Now, a third benefit of suffering is one that, quite frankly, doesn't happen that often. It helps you develop optimism. And at this point, some of you may think, now, what are you saying? You know, how can suffering produce optimism? The way I see it is that suffering makes people weak and miserable and negative. So what are you talking about here? You know, well, the fact is it often does. You know, that's often what comes out of it. The people get weak and miserable and negative, and that's because they waste their sorrows and they do not allow the Holy Spirit to work its work in their lives when their lives get tough. They focus on the problems and continually ask, why me? Instead of using their problems to become stronger. However, if you approach suffering with the right attitude, you experience a complete transformation. Paul said, verse 3 here, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. Now let's take another look at this word hope. You know, too often we use it as a synonym for wishful thinking. You know, for example, we say, you know, we have a scheduled family picnic and the skies become cloudy and gray, and then we might just say, you know, with this resignation, you know, I hope it doesn't rain. Well, unspoken is the thought, but by all appearances it will, and there's nothing that I can do about it. Well, that's not hope. That's just helpless, wishful thinking. Paul uses the word differently. He uses it to mean facing life with confidence, knowing that God is in control. By Paul's definition of hope, we would react to the rainy skies with the attitude, it may be cloudy and gray, but not even the rain will keep me from having a great time with my family this afternoon. Suffering produces an attitude of confident optimism. Because once you have suffered, you realize that problems aren't all they're cracked up to be. They have limitations. And there are some things your problems cannot do. For example, they cannot separate you from the love of God. They cannot destroy your happiness. They cannot keep you from living life to the fullest, unless, of course, you allow them to. Now, I saw a rodeo bull rider. You know, when I'm clicking through the channels, you know, I stop every once in a while and watch something that's going on. Who knows sometimes why I stop there and look at some of these things. But I saw this rodeo bull rider on TV. It was a story actually about him, but they had shown him the clip. He'd drawn this pretty mean bull. Rider's supposed to last 8 seconds, and his lasted about a second. When the gate opened up and the bull came out of the stall before his back feet hit the ground, the rider had hit the dirt. And unfortunately for him, it wasn't over. His hand was caught in the rigging, and the bull dragged him around the arena for a while. And when he finally got loose, the bull speared him once or twice before the clowns came to rescue him. On the way home, he said, the toughest part about getting thrown is having to wait a week before I get another chance to ride. I know what I did wrong, and I know I'll get it right next time, but I've got to wait a whole week to do it. You know, after the beating he had just taken, most people would have said, that's it for me. I am done with that. But he wasn't afraid of getting thrown. He had been thrown enough to know that it wouldn't kill him, most likely. And he left the rodeo that night convinced that next week, he would be better. Now that is hope. Some people define it as crazy. And you know what? It does seem a little crazy to have a hopeful, confident, optimistic attitude in the face of suffering. In the midst of his troubles, Job's wife gave him some rather cynical advice. She said, curse God and die. In other words, give up. You know, how long? How long are you going to keep hanging on to this foolish belief that God is in control? Well, we know what happened to Job. Eventually, his fortune and his health and his family restored. And the Bible says this, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. When you suffer and you stay with it, you become stronger and your problem becomes weaker. What good is suffering? Well, when you suffer in the right way, when you rejoice in your sufferings, when you approach hardships with the right attitude, you discover that suffering doesn't beat you down, it builds you up. It makes you stronger. God has the ability to take any trial or any hardship or any crisis or any negative situation that you face and cause it to work to your benefit. If you don't believe that, turn to Romans 8:28 and read that verse. What may appear to be a curse in your life can actually become a blessing. You might remember that when we went through the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 13:2. Now, nobody likes to suffer. Nobody in their right mind would choose to suffer. But followers of Jesus Christ need not fear suffering. In fact, when it comes, and I hate to break the news to you, it will come from time to time to each one of us. You can rejoice in the midst of it because the end result will be that you will become stronger. And God is glorified in your life.